There is a new poll out of UW-Madison, and we're exploring it here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Elections Research Center conducted an online survey this month in three swing states. The results show Senator Bernie Sanders holding a sizable lead in Michigan and Wisconsin ahead of the state's primaries. But Pennsylvania is a closer contest among Democrats. So do you trust political polling? Have you been contacted by a pollster this election cycle? What questions did they ask you? And were you truthful in your answers? The conversation is at 800-642-1234. Barry Burden is a political science professor at UW-Madison, where he directs the Elections Research Center. Barry, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
What did your polling say about the campaign of Senator Bernie Sanders in battleground states?
It says that he's in a very good position in all three of the states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. He's in the lead. That lead is biggest in Wisconsin, as you mentioned at the top of the story, with 30% of the vote among Democratic primary voters here. No other candidate in Wisconsin has even half that amount, so it's a pretty sizable gap between him and then the pack of four or five who are trailing behind. His position is not quite as commanding in Michigan and even less so in Pennsylvania, where Joe Biden and Mike Bloomberg are doing a bit better. All three of them are within about 5 percentage points of one another. But of course, the Pennsylvania primary isn't until late April, so it's a little further along and things may be quite different in the campaign by the time they get there.
So what stood out to you in this latest survey? What are some themes that you saw?
Well, I think the most interesting one on the Democratic side is the tremendous generational divide among Democratic voters. When we combine the three states together, Bernie Sanders among 18 to 29-year-olds, the youngest group in the sample, gets 55% of the vote. So he has more support than all of the other candidates combined, just a very dominant position. But as you move across the age groups upward to those who are over 65, which is our oldest group, he's actually a second or third tier candidate. Joe Biden and Mike Bloomberg are atop with over 20% of the vote. Buttigieg and Klobuchar are both competitive, and Sanders is under 10%. So it's a very different combination of candidates depending on what age group you're looking at within the Democratic Party, and Sanders' success is attributed mostly to young voters.
Age among young voters, what you're seeing there, but what about demographics? You mentioned there that you mentioned Biden leading among black voters.
He is leading among black voters. Again, we have to combine all three states to have enough respondents to look at in some of these categories. Among white voters, Sanders does well. Among Hispanic voters, he does particularly well, and I think we saw that coming out of the Nevada caucuses just this week. But among black voters, there's still loyalty to Biden. He finishes first among them with about 35% of the vote. And Sanders is really grouped with several other candidates, Bloomberg, Warren, and others, pretty far behind. So, you know, as we move from state to state, as folks are watching the campaign unfold, you see that the pattern is somewhat different, and it reflects largely demographics in the state. I think South Carolina's primary, which is coming up this Saturday, will be a nice test of that to see whether Biden is still in a good position with black voters enough to make him competitive or maybe let him win the state.
We're talking with Barry Burden, director of the Elections Research Center, which just released its first poll of the 2020 presidential race this week. More than 8 months until Election Day, what do you think of political polling? Do you pay attention to polls and what they tell us about voters? How do you see them influencing our democracy or not? Join the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Barry, two-thirds of your respondents said America is, quote, ready to elect a woman president, yet your poll didn't find any of the female candidates in the race in first place. What do you think that means?
No, that's interesting, isn't it? I think it's ambiguous even what respondents mean when they tell us that America is ready for a woman president. It might mean that they are personally interested in seeing a woman being elected. Or it might mean that maybe the barriers to a woman being elected have fallen, and they think the U.S. would be open to that. It apparently doesn't mean they're interested in these particular women, because in the Democratic primary, at least, neither Elizabeth Warren nor Amy Klobuchar are in the top group in any of the states. Now, it's not to say that that won't happen. It's possible that one of them will break out of the pack. But at the moment, they're really, I think, second-tier candidates behind Sanders and maybe Joe Biden.
Which candidates have the strongest support among women voters?
Well, there, too, there's not a tremendous gender gap. There will be in the November election. Women will be more on the Democratic side and men more likely to vote for Trump. But in the primary, the gender differences are not large. Warren does better among women than she does among men. That's probably the most imbalanced of all the candidates. But for most of the others, the percentages between men and women are quite similar. Bloomberg does a little better among men. Biden, surprisingly, a little better among women. Klobuchar about equally between the two. So that's not a major division within the Democratic primary, at least.
The Marquette Law School poll surveyed voters here in Wisconsin last month and found former Vice President Joe Biden was the front runner. What do you think explains the change going on in the Biden campaign?
Well, Biden's had a terrible month. It's just a bad experience for him. This is someone who was a former vice president of the United States, is closely linked to the Obama administration, which was held in high regard among Democratic voters, at least. But then in Iowa, finished, I think, fifth, and Hampshire fourth, and came out of New Hampshire with zero delegates, finishing behind people like Pete Buttigieg, who was not a known figure just a year or two ago, but is now beating him in a number of states. He has suffered, I think, not getting as many endorsements as he would have liked and has been struggling in debates. Now, there's been a little recovery in recent days. He did better in Nevada than he had in the first two states. There's been some fire aimed at other candidates, in particular Bernie Sanders as the front runner and Mike Bloomberg as the new entrant in the race. So Biden may well recover, but it has been a rough February, and it's going to be a long haul for him to get back atop the field if that were to happen.
Yeah, traditionally, Biden has gone after, quote-unquote, the working class voter, but that encompasses a lot in our society. So where is the working class voter in relation to polling?
Sanders does exceptionally well among working class voters, people with less income and lower levels of educational attainment. And he's one of the few candidates who actually uses that phrase, working class. Lots of other candidates in both parties like to talk about the middle class, which is even a more ambiguous group and includes all kinds of people who think they're in the middle class. But working class is a little more specific and I think has a kind of economic edge to it that the middle class doesn't. And Sanders has been able to tap into that group, which is younger, more racially diverse, more concentrated in urban areas. And that has really been the fuel for his campaign in all of these early states so far.
So how competitive is Senator Sanders with President Trump in the general election, according to your survey?
He's very competitive, as are all the Democrats. And I think that runs against some of the chatter out there about maybe Sanders being too progressive to be electable, or that maybe Biden ought to be advantaged because he's electable, or on the other side, that Sanders has built such a movement that he would be a dominant candidate. In fact, we show in the survey that almost regardless of who the Democratic nominee is, the race is likely to be very close in Wisconsin, razor thin in Pennsylvania, maybe a little tilted towards the Democrats in Michigan, but in really all of these matchups, the differences are not beyond the margin of error. So to me, this indicates that all three states are really available for both parties to win in November and will be essential to either party's victory in the Electoral College.
UW-Madison political science professor Barry Burden is our guide to a new poll. Your thoughts on polling, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about new presidential election polling out of UW-Madison here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The poll was conducted earlier this month. It found support for Senator Bernie Sanders surging in Wisconsin. Sanders has a commanding lead over the rest of the field of Democratic hopefuls. And the survey went out to voters in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin to see what these swing state voters are thinking about the presidential race. your thoughts as well at 800-642-1234. Do polls inform your vote? Will President Trump be able to replicate his success in swing states this year? Share your thoughts. Again, 800-642-1234. UW-Madison political scientist Barry Burden directs the Elections Research Center, and he stays with us. Let's take a call now. Mike in Madison. Hi, Mike.
Hi, good morning. I'd be curious to know in the survey, specifically the women that were surveyed, if they lean towards one of the women candidates more than the other, either Warren or Klobuchar, and if there's an age breakdown that shows a preference.
Mike, thanks. Any more breakdown there that you saw among the respondents who identified as women, Barry?
You know, it is surprising that there's not a bigger difference between men and women in the Democratic primary. You might expect female candidates to attract the support of female voters. There's still a lot of, I think, hand-wringing among Democratic women about what happened to Hillary Clinton in 2016, but that just doesn't show up in the survey. It's true that Amy Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren, who are the two women in the top group, do a little better among women than they do among men, but it's not a sizable gap. Warren is the most dependent on female voters. I think a strong majority of her vote comes from women, but overall, there are not big differences. It's really racial differences and especially the age differential that is separating the candidates. And that's all about Bernie Sanders, who's doing well among Hispanics and whites and doing exceptionally well among young voters.
What contrast did you see between Democratic voters in Wisconsin with those in Michigan and Pennsylvania?
Well, it's largely demographics, and I think that explains why the primary outcome looks to be a bit different across the states and why the general election is a little different. Wisconsin's electorate is whiter. There's a smaller African-American population in Wisconsin relative to Michigan, Pennsylvania. Also, levels of educational attainment are a little lower in Wisconsin, and the population's a little bit older. And those are all demographics that would help Bernie Sanders in a primary. He does better among white voters than among African-Americans, and those with less education rather than those with more. And that shows up in the poll. He's in the best position in the Wisconsin primary and not quite as dominant in Michigan and Pennsylvania. I think it also shows up in the general election matchups. The Democrats are doing a hair better in Michigan. That gets to be near the beyond the margin of error, whereas both Pennsylvania and Wisconsin are about dead even. Very difficult to say. And I think that's partly just the mix of people who are in the state. So they, you know, there is the saying that demographics is destiny. And at least when it comes to elections, it's a big part of what we can expect to happen.
Let's bring in Nancy now, joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Nancy.
Hello. I thought it was very interesting that your guest described the youngest people who are most in favor of Sanders. And I think that's because that he is always promoting entirely free education. And, of course, they're the ones who are coming from college now with enormous debt loads. So, but as you go up the scale to older people, they're the ones who realize they would be the ones to pay for it. It is this year's slate of possible candidates is really interesting to watch.
Well, Nancy, I want to pause there. Barry, do you see that insight that what Sanders is offering the more youthful generation is certainly not seen in the same way by an older generation?
Yes, I think there's a lot of truth to that. Our survey did ask Democratic primary voters what the main reason was for picking their candidate. There's been a lot of discussion this year among Democrats about electability, wanting to find someone who could beat Donald Trump, and that's been the claim that, say, Joe Biden and Mike Bloomberg have made about their candidacies. So we offered respondents a set of six options for why they picked their candidate, and one of them was this person has the best chance to beat Donald Trump, but that was not the most popular pick. The most popular pick was I picked the candidate because I agree with them on most of the issues. So prioritizing issue agreement over electability. And I think that is a big draw for Sanders supporters. They really are interested in his plans to offer free education, to cancel student loan debt, to make marijuana use legal, to enact Medicare for All as a replacement for private insurance. These are some pretty big reforms, but they sit well, at least with young voters.
Nancy, thanks for the call. We're talking with Barry Burden, professor of political science at UW-Madison, where he researches U.S. elections and public opinion. We're talking about a new poll he conducted in three swing states, including Wisconsin. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. How much attention do you pay to polling leading up to November 3rd? You can also email ideas at WPR.org. So, Barry, there are so many polls out there in the country, lots of noise, a lot of predictions. Why start another poll?
Well, it does feel like there's a lot of surveying happening. In Wisconsin and other states, even more so in Michigan and Pennsylvania, it's not quite as rich in survey data as you might think.
Hmm.
We've been really fortunate in Wisconsin to have the Marquette poll, which is a really high-quality, gold-standard-type survey running for a number of years here. I think it's been really essential for us to understand how the electorate is thinking, how voters are making up their minds, how they view the candidates, public policies, and other kinds of things. Most other states don't even have that. In both Michigan and Pennsylvania, I think there had only been one survey about the election since the fall. So in some places, there's a real dearth of this kind of information. We think that more surveys are better for understanding voters in these really key states. I can't tell you how often I hear from reporters from other countries, from Brazil and Chile and France and elsewhere, asking about what the heck is going on in Wisconsin and the rest of the Midwest. They really want to understand who's going to be elected president and what role we have to play in that in a key swing state. And I think surveys are one window into understanding how the electorate is viewing the candidates and the issues.
So 1 week from today, 14 states will hold their primaries on Super Tuesday, as it's called, the single biggest day to win delegates in the race. But Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, not among them. They'll vote later. What are you watching for out of Super Tuesday?
Well, I think just on the game of the campaign, we're interested in which candidates are likely to drop out as a result of Super Tuesday. There are so many delegates being selected that day. It's about a third of the total that will be at the Democratic convention in July. And so a candidate who can't get any traction in these 14 states, I think, is going to have trouble making a pitch that they deserve to go on, and they will have trouble raising money. And so it's quite possible that a candidate or two could be nudged out of the race. That typically happens the night of the Iowa caucuses. That's the first event, and it's sort of the first sign. There's an old saying that there are only three tickets out of Iowa, but the Iowa results were so muddled that it wasn't clear who was in the lead or how other candidates had fared, and so no one dropped out that night. It took the New Hampshire primary, which was more decisive, to push a few candidates out. Nevada has not done that. So we've got both South Carolina and Super Tuesday, I think, as the next big indications where that could happen. And then after that, I think candidates will just cruise through the states. We should expect by the time the primary happens in Wisconsin on April 7th, there should still be probably three or four viable candidates who have the money and the interest to still be in the race.
Yeah, how big of a role could Wisconsin play in our primary this year?
Well, it's both big and small. It's small because we're late in the cycle, and Wisconsin happens after about 60% of the delegates have been selected. So in that sense, Wisconsin's a minor player. On the other hand, no candidate is likely to have a majority of the delegates at that point. The field is still divided enough among the candidates that maybe no candidate will have a majority at the time even of the convention. In addition, Wisconsin is the only primary on April 7th. There's no other state holding an event that day. So I think there is an opportunity for those of us in Wisconsin to get a little attention from the candidates who will have nowhere else to go in the days just before the primary. So not likely to be the deciding factor in the outcome, but I think we'll be part of the story of framing this mix of candidates and figuring out how to think about them as we head towards the final stretch.
So as we start to wrap up here, what will you look at in future polling during the campaign season? Because this is the first one, is that right?
It is. We expect to do several surveys over the course of the 2020 campaign. There's likely to be one more before the Democratic convention in July. That's sort of a last look as the nomination is presumably wrapping up to see how voters are thinking about both Trump and Pence on the Republican side and whoever's likely to be the Democratic nominee. as the conventions are being put together. And then additional survey work after the conventions. We get into the heat of the general election. That will be in August or September. So once we know who the Democratic nominee and the running mate is, and really the choice has been clarified for folks, I think it's another opportunity to have a look and see how voters are thinking as things get more serious.
Barry, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
UW-Madison political science professor Barry Burden directs the Elections Research Center. We have a link to results. Go to WPR.org/mornings. Also, new Marquette Law School poll comes out Thursday that looks at views of the presidential election. We'll have coverage of the results of that polling data on Central Time. That's Thursday at 3:45. Coming up, we look at Black History Month and talk with a professor about the cultural movement of Afrofuturism. That's after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.